It's snack time for the macaques at the Texas Biomedical Research Institute. A worker is tossing quartered apples to the hundreds of excited monkeys as he walks down the line of outdoor cages. Don Taylor is in charge of taking care of the animals.
Hey, like that little guy right there?
Yeah, what's he
doing? He's challenging us a little bit. He's bobbing his head down. They're just trying to show you how big they are.
Aside from humans, macaques are the most widely distributed primates on the planet. These highly social and adaptable animals can be found in the wild from Gibraltar to Japan. And they share another trait with humans, big chunks of our genome. That's what makes them useful for scientists like Jean Patterson, who is looking for ways to stop the deadly Ebola virus.
They have a very immune system very similar to humans, and they show disease very similar to humans.
Patterson is the chair of the Department of Virology and Immunology at Texas Biomed. She and other scientists here are searching for ways to better detect Ebola, find more successful treatment drugs, and above all, develop a vaccine. And now that Ebola is killing thousands, their work has taken on a new sense of intensity.
We are working at capacity right now. We have been for a number of years and will be for a number of years. So we can't really do much more than we're already doing, but it certainly has created some urgency in what we're doing.
But working to develop medical answers to the Ebola virus is limited because it's so extremely dangerous. There are only 6 facilities in North America allowed to handle Ebola and other killer microbes. These level 4 biosafety labs are required to be highly secure, be airtight, have fail-safe plans in place, and be closely monitored. There's one at Texas Biomed, and scientist Anthony Griffiths gives me a tour.
Okay, so when we go into the BSL-4, we kind of congregate in this area first. To go into the lab, underneath your suit, you wear scrubs, and when you come out of the lab, those scrubs are autoclaved, which is a full decontamination before they're washed.
I could only get as far as the lab's front door. It's thick stainless steel with a reinforced triangle-shaped window, and there's a large yellow sticker that declares caution. This heavy-duty portal is the entry to an airlock where there's a shower of disinfectant. It's on the other side of the airlock where the researchers like Juan Zapata work while encased in a bright yellow full-body hazmat suit.
So these guys are heading into the lab.
What are you going to be doing in there when you get in there?
Doing observations and treatments.
So these guys are supporting a vaccine effort and our drug efforts as well.
True. Why do you ever get nervous in there with Ebola?
No. No. Honestly, I don't. No. I'm very comfortable in there with what I do.
Juan is stepping into and zipping up his custom-made rubber suit. Then comes the pressure air hose that snaps into place. Now he's ready to work. He'll spend between 2 and 4 hours doing his job as a veterinarian research technician. That's because it's not just vials of Ebola in the level 4 biolab. Macaques are also in there who have been infected with Ebola, and they need to be cared for.
The animal would, in a vaccination, would be vaccinated before they went into the lab. They would be monitored closely to maintain their comfort as best as we can. Then, at some point, the vaccine has either succeeded or failed, and we will analyze elements of the animal, and that happens at necropsy, which is autopsy in a human.
There are animal rights groups that question the use of monkeys and other animals for this type of research. Kathleen Conley is the Vice President of Animal Research Issues for the Humane Society of the United States.
Well, we have concerns with the use of animals in research, but particularly when we uncover that there are minimal animal welfare laws being broken, as we found at Texas Biomedical Research Institute.
The Humane Society recently conducted an undercover investigation at the Texas Biomedical Research Institute and identified problems with the handling of primates, including the deaths of a baboon and 2 macaques who were strangled by getting tangled by door cables in their cages.
Well, we are working towards the day when no animals are used in harmful research, and until that day comes, we feel that laws should be followed. and also that ending primate research really should be an urgent priority.
Conley says she is opposed to using animals for medical research on both ideological and practical grounds. She says other methods could be used to develop medical breakthroughs, like a cure for Ebola, but Robert Lanford, a scientist at Texas Biomed and the director of the Southwest National Primate Research Center, says without using the macaques, there would be no way to find a vaccine for Ebola.
It is acutely aware now that we have a virus spreading across Africa and threatening to leave that continent and go to other continents, that the public appreciates the work that we're doing in non-human primates.
Lanford says inspections from the U.S. Department of Agriculture have found areas where the animal care needed to be improved, but that's the normal process, and those issues have been addressed.
And the USDA said, this shouldn't occur. Redesign your cages. We redesigned every cage on campus. We use the USDA's recommendations as a mechanism to improve our program.
The World Health Organization is predicting deaths from the Ebola outbreak could exceed 20,000 in Africa. The Center for Disease Control has a much scarier number, over a million infections by mid-January. Which prediction comes true, we'll have to wait and see. But there is no doubt that Ebola will now have a permanent presence in West Africa and will be a constant threat to every part of the globe. It's going to cost billions of dollars to fight Ebola, and another cost is the lives of the macaques. That raises the ethical question that each of us should address in our own way as the urgent search continues for the elusive Ebola vaccine. David Martin Davies, Texas Public Radio News.